Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
The topic for tonight is angels and demons. We are going to do four lessons. This is a very, very intensive study. And in the Bible college, it's about 8 weeks to 16 weeks. It's a lot. But I'm only going to give you a snapshot. We're going to do four 30-minute sessions. Yes, you heard me, 30 minutes. Miracles are going to happen in this place. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some information. I will not be able to give you all the addresses and all of the scripture and read it to you or put it on the overhead. It is far too much. If you want that, we're going to download some of these notes online. So if you want to get into an exhaustive study, and there are some books that we can recommend if you want to learn more about this subject. But tonight, we're going to start with, the subject is called angels and demons. And tonight, I want to start with angels. Next week, we will get into the origin of evil. We'll look into the fall of Lucifer as we begin to look at demons. And we begin to look at the war that is going on this planet. But tonight I wanted to just open it up and just look at the first topic of this title, and that is angels. So we're going to look at the who, what, where. Who are these beings? Are they real? What do they look like? What do they do? What have they got to do with me? So are you with me?
Yes.
So let's get to the word. Let me give you a definition of angel. The word is angelos, is where we get the word Los Angeles, city of angels. In the Greek, it means the word angel is applied in Scripture to an order of supernatural or heavenly beings whose business it is to act as God's messengers to men and as agents who carry out his will. Both in Hebrew and Greek, the word is applied also to human messengers. So you'll look at that word and you'll see in the book of Revelation that as John is writing, there'll be seven letters to the seven angels of the seven churches. We believe that that word angel in that place is being used of the messenger or the pastor. But the word angel means messenger. Now, it's a broad topic, and we're in the book of Hebrews on Sunday morning, so let's start there. Jim was in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning, but let's go back and let's backtrack just a moment. And if you've got your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 14 says... Well, let me read you chapter 1, verse 7. And he says, and of the angels, he says, you who make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, in chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, the writer is laying out the fact that Jesus is far more excellent and has a far more excellent name, a far more excellent position, that he is not a created being, he is not an angel, he is actually God, the Word made flesh. And he is so much better than the angels. Because the Hebrew church and the Hebrew people knew about angels and they put a high stock on them. And so we see here that God is saying, angels are my messengers, and they are, in verse 14, ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And that, my beloved, is you. And I have to say, as I was sitting here tonight just worshiping God, I was struck with the fact how much we are loved by heaven, more than we can know. And Pastor David was right. There are more angels for us than against us, far more. And we're going to see that tonight, but let's just start. And I'm just going to give you some information. We're going to gather some knowledge. Then we're going to look at some understanding. And then we're going to apply wisdom. Is that okay? So let's get some knowledge. First of all, angels, where do they come from? Well, they're individual beings. Beings. B-E-I-N-G-S. Individuals. Created by our Lord Jesus. And they share in his plan for mankind. Or they oppose it with Satan as their leader. So they're either for us or against us. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 19, for by him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now we're getting a list of the hierarchies here. And in our world, in our natural world, we know that there is something that surpasses what we can see, what we can hear, what we can smell, what we can taste, and what we can touch. Case in point, right now in this building, there are microwaves, there are airwaves, there are sound waves moving, and we cannot see them. But they are actually doing a job. They're actually carrying through this wireless mic that I'm wearing right now. The sound of my voice is actually on a sound wave, and it's actually moving through energy, and it's carrying across this auditorium. Can you see the sound waves? The fact that this microphone is working is proof that they are in this room. You can't see them, but they're very real. It's the same thing in the invisible world. Just because you and I can't see it does not mean it's not real. If anything, the word says very clearly in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that by faith we know that the invisible world, the spirit realm, the world that we cannot see with this natural ability, created by the word that was spoken, the very visible world that we're now in. So, it says here that Jesus created thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So here we see that Jesus Christ is the creator of angelic beings. And what's amazing to me is that this amazing God that I serve and love, his name is Jesus, that he is my head and I am his body. And that he has raised me up to be seated with him in heavenly places. And that as I was a human being, I am going into the fullness of my salvation, and I will have full redemption, and I will be higher than the angels, because right now I'm a little lower than the angels on the earth. Are you with me? The angels, at this point, are created by the King. Angels were created before the foundation of the earth. They were created before the foundations of this planet were laid. Now, I'm not going to go into the antediluvian theory, the gap theory. I'm not going there because it's not important. What's important is that angels were created. But it does say very clearly in Job chapter 38, verses 4 and 7, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements?" God is speaking. "Surely you know, or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The angels were shouting for joy when God laid the foundations and hung this planet on nothing. They were already here, waiting. Angels rank under God, but they rank above human beings. Now, we'll talk about this as we go on in this study. But let's look at what God says right now. It says in Psalm chapter 8, and this is reiterated in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7, and Pastor Jim will get there in the next year. "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Now, they're actually speaking about the one that made himself a man, the one that stepped out of eternity, the one that put on flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. And that Jesus would be made little lower than the angels for you and I and become the last Adam, the full-blown man on this planet to redeem us. He was made lower than the angels in human form. That tells me you and I at this point are not angelic. You're not going to die and become an angel. That is not going to happen. You are the redeemed. You are the saints of God, the elect of God. You are in a totally different class. You do not die and you do not become angels. Angels are in a rank all by themselves. They are a company, not a race. Now, what do I mean by that? They do not procreate. God created X amount of angels, so many of them, and that's it. They're not multiplying. Now, how do we know this? Because Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 30, he said, "For in the resurrection," speaking of angels, he said, "they neither marry nor are given in marriage," speaking of the redeemed, "but are like the angels of God in heaven." Angels do not marry, and they are not given in marriage. They do not procreate. So when you are hearing all of this foolishness, Because the title of this, Angels and Demons, Fad, Fantasy, or Reality, they are very real. But there's a lot of fad and there is a lot of fantasy out there. But I have to stay with the Word of God. This book that was written took 1,500 years for it to be penned. 40 plus authors, 66 books. And it all has the same theme and the same thread. And it's come to pass. And the prophecies in the book of Isaiah about the Messiah have come to pass. And it has proved itself. It is the Word of God. It is the living Word of God. And it is what I have got to go to when it comes to these things. Because otherwise, I am at the whim of the spirits and doctrines of demons, which Jesus said are going to be on this earth. And in the last days, there will be perilous times and there will be doctrines of demons and wicked spirits. So I got to go to the Word to see what God is saying. He says, angels do not procreate. They are not given in marriage, and they do not marry. All right? So, they're spirits. What's a spirit? Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Ministering spirits. Sent forth to minister to those who will inherit eternal life. What does that mean? It means they're not corporeal. They're incorporeal. It means they're not material. They are not bound by time and space like you and I are. You and I live in a world, a natural material world of time and space. The angels do not. They live in God's realm, the spirit realm. God is a spirit and angels are a spirit. Angels don't die. Luke chapter 20 verse 36 says, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Angels do not die. There's a fixed number of them. They are spirit beings. They do not have natural bodies. And they do not die. Angels are irredeemable. What does that mean, irredeemable? Well, it means that the Son of God, the Logos, the Word of God, when he stepped out of eternity and he became the last Adam, he became man for you and I. He did not come for the angels to redeem them. He came for the sons of Abraham. What does that mean? It means angels have no redemption. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. This universalism that is going around our world right now, that is part of the New Age Gnostic dogma that has been going on for centuries. Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, and this is not new. When it says that everything is going to be redeemed, and God is going to forgive everything, and that we're all going to get into heaven, that is not what the Word of God says. That is not scriptural. It is not what God says, and it's a doctrine of demons. And we'll look at this next week when we look at demons. But right now we're looking at angels. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, let's look at it. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Who is the seed of Abraham? Now, why are we the seed of Abraham? We are the seed of Abraham because Abraham is the father of faith. Do you remember the book of Galatians that we were in for about 4 years? The book of Galatians, where Paul was teaching the Galatian provinces the difference between works and faith. The just shall live by faith. By grace are we saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I cannot earn salvation. We cannot work for salvation. All we can do is receive it and take it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you don't see. The verb of faith is believe. That's why it's on this platform right now. Believing is faithing. I just made that up. It's the verb. Verbs are action words. Nouns are person, places, or things. Right? Faith is a noun. It's a creed. What do I believe? What do I believe? That's faith. But believe is the verb of faith. I am faithing when I'm believing. And that's how I received salvation. I didn't see my salvation. I couldn't earn it. I just said, God, I believe it, and I am going to do it, and I'm going to receive it. Lord, be my King, be my Savior. That's what happened. I got saved. I got reconciled back to the Father. The angels can't do that. There is no redemption for them. Now we're going to look at that next week when we look at demons. But let me say this. These angels that sinned are not called on to repent. Their choice was final when they made it. And the cross is not a means to their salvation. But it is actually a source for their condemnation. Jesus, having disarmed them and made a public spectacle of them through triumphing over them in the cross. And that's Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. So there is no redemption for angels. The angels that did not fall, and we'll look at this next week. The angels that did not go with Lucifer, now Satan. These angels that remain steadfast and loyal to the Father are phenomenal beings, more loyal than you and I can even imagine or understand. Holy sons of God, according to the word of God. Not sons like we are. And those angels that fell are permanently and completely already separated from God. It's just a matter of time until their final destruction. That is why those demons, when Jesus was casting them out of the demoniac at Gerasene, and there was a legion of demons in this man, and they said, please don't send us to the abyss. Don't send us before the time. Can we go into that herd of pigs? And there was 2,000 pigs. And Jesus let them go into those pigs, and those pigs had enough sense to run right over that cliff and kill themselves because they were not going to be symbiotic hosts for demons. Are you with me?
Yes.
There is no redemption for fallen angels. They have free wills. Talking about angels, Jude 1:6 says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says in the 6th chapter, I believe it is, do you not know that you will judge angels, that the church is going to judge angels? Because they were having fights among themselves, and Paul says, isn't there somebody in your congregation that can figure out this mess for you? Don't you know that you're going to be judging angels? Now, we're not going to be judging the angels that didn't fall because they don't need to be judged. It is the angels that fell with Satan that will be judged by the church. Let's look at this. Job chapter 4. If he puts no trust in his servants, speaking of God, if he charges his angels with error, how much more than those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth. In other words, if God says that the angels erred and will judge them, then they have a free will and they had a free choice and they made their choice. And that divided God's angels with Lucifer, who is now Satan, and those are now what we're going to call next week fallen angels and demons and a host of wickedness. The number of angels, how many are there? They can't be counted. Good angels, God's angels, they can't be counted. That's amazing. There's so many of them. There is 100 million in one place in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Daniel writes and he sees his vision and he sees, I saw a fiery stream issuing and coming forth from before the throne of God. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's 100 million. Listen to this. Job in chapter 25, verse 23 says, who is able to count his heavenly army? Doesn't his light shine on all the earth? Hebrews 12, 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. There are more for us than against us. There are so many of God's angels, his ministers of fire, his magnificent beings, that they cannot even be counted. Can't even be counted. I don't know about you. That makes me pretty excited. They have intelligence. They desire to look into the salvation of human beings. They don't understand this amazing redemption. And they're here right now. If our eyes could be open and we had the gift of the discerning of spirits and we could see the angelic hosts that are here, they would be listening. And they listened to redemption because they saw him as the Logos, the living word. They saw him as the one of creation. They sang as he created and hung the earth in his space. But to see him step out of eternity and become an infant man-child, to see him walk through the human experience, to see their king, God of gods, hanging on a cross, they had never seen that before. And to see this mass of humanity that God so loved and so willing to not live without, they are in awe and they long to see and understand redemption. They have intelligence. 1 Peter 1:12. To them it was revealed, not to ourselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Through those things have been preached and the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Who are you? Who are you, saints of God, that heaven loves you so much? They have their own language. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Listen to this. They have their own personalities. They have their own emotions. Says in Luke, likewise, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Listen to this. They have their own food. How about this one? In Psalm 78, if you want to read it for yourselves, it's a great, great psalm. But it talks about Israel, and it says that God rained down manna on them to eat and gave them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. They ate the food of angels. Maybe that's why they were healthy and they didn't die out. Because they were eating this amazing, amazing nutrition from heaven. What do angels look like? Well, let me ask you this. Are there female angels? Because you see, in the fantasy and the fad of our culture right now, there's women angels everywhere. In the Word of God, the word angel and all that applies to all of the angelic beings that are in the Word of God, except for one place, are all male and masculine. However, I found a female. Zechariah 5, speaking about wickedness. Yeah. Okay, God, you're trying to say something here. Zechariah says, then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. And so I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. And so there we see in the book of Revelation, Satan's counterfeit bride called the Whore of Babylon, and she's drunk with the blood of the saints. But the beings that are carrying this wickedness out of the land of Israel and ridding Israel of wickedness and bringing it over to Babylon are winged women. So that's all I can say. Listen, angels can look just like us. Many have entertained angels unaware. When Abraham and Sarah were, he was 99 and she was 89, almost 90. The Lord, there was a theophany, and we'll look at the angel of the Lord later on in this teaching, not tonight. But there were three angels that came by. They looked like men. And you know the story. Abraham told Sarah, cook up something really good. We're going to serve these people. And it turned out to be God and two angels. So, angels can look like us. Do angels have wings? Well, we just saw two women with wings. However, actually, there aren't any winged angels that we look at in the Word of God that are messengers. There are cherubim and there are the seraphim, which we'll look at in just a moment. But winged angels are not necessarily spoken of. Gabriel, and this actually comes from Gabriel when he met with Daniel, or for the angel that met with Daniel that was flying swiftly, actually in Daniel 9:21. It says, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Gabriel is God's messenger that stands before the very presence of God. So we see Gabriel flying swiftly. However, there's no mention of wings. And remember, they are not bound by time and space. That means that they can travel at the speed of thought. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to have wings. There are no mention of wings. Now, if you want to put wings on your angels, I am so good with that. That is totally up to you. But looking at the Word of God, you're not going to find it. However, we will see winged creatures in just a moment. Listen, angels are beautiful, brilliant, and they can be frightening. Psalm 104 says, God who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. If you'll notice in the Word of God, every time there is an angel sighting, most of the time the angel says, fear not. That's a reason there why he's saying fear not. Because like Pastor Jim said this morning, if an angel showed up in your living room, would you wet your pants? And I said, thank you, honey. That was just my first point. What do you do when an angel shows up in your living room? They can be frightening because they are magnificent, beautiful, incredible beings and strong beyond anything you and I can even understand. Remember, they live in the realm of the spirit. They are not flesh and blood. One angel, God sent one angel to the troops of Assyria when they were coming against Hezekiah. One angel, when Sennacherib was coming against Hezekiah. One angel wiped out in one night, in an instant, 185,000 warriors. One angel. That's pretty strong. When they were on their way to the tomb, when Jesus was going to be dressed by the women and they were going to anoint him with fresh spices because they had put him in the tomb and they had crucified him and they were convinced and they knew that he was dead because he was dead. And when they went to that tomb and that stone was rolled away, this is what it says in Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for the fear of him, and they became like dead men. So here you've got this being that has rolled away this stone, has caused an earthquake just by his descending, and the guards took one look at that angel, they shook for fear, and they became like dead men. So what do angels look like? I have never seen an angel. Not sure I'd need to see an angel like that. I'll look at the angels that look like me. Because they are, like I said, beautiful, brilliant, massive, magnificent, and strong and powerful beyond anything you and I can even imagine. Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, says this about angels. Do I need to take a break? Are you doing all right?
That's great.
Is this good? Okay. God is forever imaginative, colorful and glorious in what he designs. Some of the descriptions of angels, including the one of Lucifer in Ezekiel 28, indicates that they are exotic to the human eye and mind. Apparently, angels have a beauty and variety that surpasses anything known to men. Angels, what do they look like? Let's look at name, rank, and file of angels. Because they are a company, a host. Remember, they don't procreate. They're not a race like you and I are. They are a fixed number. And God has rank and file, and he's named three angels in the Word of God. He's named Lucifer, who meant morning star, who is now Satan. He named Michael, and he named Gabriel. But there is a rank and file, and I want to look at the highest of the beings, and these actually are not called angels in the Word of God, but they are the cherubim, they are the seraphim, and they are the living creatures. Now, the cherubim are wild. If you've ever read the book of Ezekiel, and I'm sure that's bathroom reading for all of you. In the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the prophet begins to see this incredible vision of these beings. And remember, We live in time and space. God lives in eternity. So there are dimensions that you and I are not able to understand or imagine in this corporeal world. And Ezekiel sees this these beings. They have four faces. They have four wings. They have the hands of a man, but they have straight legs and the hoofs of a calf. And they shine and they sparkle, according to Ezekiel chapter 1, like burnished bronze. They're blingy. They're blinged. Full on blinged. But they have four faces and they have four wings. And they go up and they go down and they go everywhere. And they have wheels within wheels that accompany them. And the wheels and the rims of the wheels are so massive that they reach from earth to heaven. And when the angels, these cherubims, begin to praise God and they begin to speak of the things of God, the wheels go up with them and they go forward, they go backward, they go to the side, and they never turn. They're pretty wild. These glorious creatures are proclaimers and protectors of God's glory. They are the highest ranking that we believe of the heavenly beings that the Word of God mentions. They're never called angels. They do not carry revelation or instructions from God. They are used in the Bible to protect God's glory and proclaim His grace. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered the throne. And we'll see this next week when we look at the fall of Lucifer and demons. These cherubs are not fat little angels with little wings flying around. That is not a cherub. That is full-on Renaissance, okay? It's just not what the Word of God says. These are beings that are so majestic that when they even begin to speak, the entire pillars of heaven begin to shake. And they are frightening, and they are holy, and they are beyond the imagination of this little grandma preacher, because I cannot wrap my mind around four heads and four wings going up, going down, going this way, going that way. I have tried to think about it. I have looked at it, and I cannot see it. And I can only imagine Ezekiel and John as they're trying to describe the throne of God and trying to tell us what heaven is like, because it's in a totally different place than where we're at. You want to get excited? I'll tell you, the best is yet to come. We haven't seen anything yet. The things that God has prepared for the saints of God, the life that is coming for us. This is just a little dirt ball. I love planet Earth, but it's not my home. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I am headed for eternity. I am a spirit being, having an earth experience. My Father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He has made these incredible beings, and they are a part of my life. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. You want to get bored? You don't ever have to be bored and be a Christian. Amen. Psalm 80, verse 1 says that God dwells between these cherubim. Psalm 81 says, records, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim. O God, shine forth." God put cherubim before the Garden of Eden, before the tree of life with flaming swords, so Adam and Eve could not come back in. And you'll never find the Garden of Eden on planet Earth. It is not on planet Earth. It's in a different dimension and a different realm. And the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of fruit and evil is not a natural tree. It is not an apple. Amen. Seraphim. What are seraphim? Isaiah was introduced to seraphim. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His garment, His robe filled the temple with its presence of holiness and beauty." This is what He says. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew." These are winged creatures. "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke." When they, the seraphim, and the word seraph means fiery one, burning one, one that is aflame, When these seraphim begin to cry out over the throne of God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Isaiah absolutely is beside himself, and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a sinful man, and I am a man of unclean lips." And one of the seraphim flies to the coals that are on the altar, takes the coal and puts it on Isaiah's mouth, and he's clean. God says, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah, as he's watching this vision, as he's part of this incredible vision, he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Isaiah prophesied of the Messiah, King, of the suffering servant. 700 years before it ever happened. Bible history tells us that perhaps Isaiah was the one in Hebrews chapter 11 that was sawn asunder, sawn in two. He was martyred for his faith. This great prophet of God who saw the seraphim with the six wings and these amazing beings. John sees the four living creatures. He's in the book of Revelation. He hears a voice that says, "Come up here." And in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, he is now at the throne of God. And there he sees the four living creatures. And if I could just have a picture of that, Chris and Luke, if you could put that up there. Here's a picture, just a little piece of art. There are the 24 elders around the throne. Obviously, you cannot see God. And there before the throne are the four living creatures, one a lion, one an ox, one a man, and one an eagle. These four living creatures also praise God and bring forth his holiness. And these four living creatures could be the cherubim, they could be the seraphim, whoever they are, they seem to worship God directly, witness the worship of God by redeemed men, and they direct the judgments of God. So, cherubim, seraphim, the four living creatures, they are winged beings, magnificent. Let's look at name, rank, and file. We're almost done. You okay? Too much information? Let's look at the angels now, the messengers. We know that there are archangels. That word arch means prince, to be an over, to one over another company of angels. Michael is the archangel. He's the only one named. Michael is specifically named in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The angel or the watcher that is speaking to Daniel in chapter 12. And I really strongly recommend that you read this chapter. It is one of the most precious chapters I've ever read of an angel visit to a beloved prophet of God, a man of God. Daniel is fasting, he's praying, he's seeking God, and it's been 3 weeks, and this messenger is sent to Daniel. As a matter of fact, I want to just take a moment. Can I just read a little bit to you? Because it's precious. You are loved. You are loved by heaven, and heaven has brought angels forth to protect you and to speak to you and to show you things. In Daniel chapter 10, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia," I'm just going to read to you, "a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning full 3 weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the river Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words was like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, who alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Splat! That's where this great man is. His face is on the ground. He can hear the words. He's frightened. Suddenly, verse 10, a hand touched me and made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands." Now he's beginning to get up. "And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved.'" O Daniel, man, greatly beloved, son of Adam, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. And stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Now, while he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. O Daniel, greatly beloved, I have come from heaven to answer your prayers. There is a war going on, and it withstood me until Michael, the archangel, came and assisted me, Michael, the prince of the angels over Israel. Michael, the archangel. So we see here a messenger. We see Michael, the archangel, name, rank, and file. Word goes on to talk about Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and there's a lot of Gabriel activity in the book of Luke in the first chapters. Because in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, born of a virgin, born under the law. And Gabriel was very busy as he went to Zacharias in the temple in Jerusalem. And Zacharias, as he was chosen to offer the incense in the temple, it only happens once in your lifetime as a priest of God. And as Zacharias is going into the Holy of Holies, there as he's going, not into the Holy of Holies, but as he's going into the holy place to offer the incense, Gabriel stands before him in a vision and tells him that he is going to have a child, a son named John. And he will be a great prophet, and he will herald the coming of the Messiah. And then Gabriel, 6 months later, is sent to this Virgin Mary, and he says, hail, thou highly favored of God. God is with you. He begins to tell her what's going to happen. His Messiah is going to be born of her. She says, yes. And then Gabriel is busy once again as Messiah is born in Bethlehem on that Christmas night. And there's a host of angels that are singing in the highest heavens. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. They are sent by God to minister to the heirs of salvation. These magnificent beings that you and I cannot see are on your side, watching out for you all the time. How amazing. Do you have a guardian angel? Well, I believe in guardian angels. Not everybody does. Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, I'm almost done, I got to quit. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, speaking of children, as he has a toddler in his hands, teaching his disciples, because they were shushing away the children. And he said, don't despise one of these little ones, these children, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So these babies that he was holding had angels in heaven. And when Peter was in prison and the angel of God got him out of prison and he went and he knocked on the door and Rhoda just didn't believe it. She slammed the door and said, it's Peter. Of course, the church is praying for Peter to get, you know, freed. He's free. She doesn't believe it. And she slams the door in the book of Acts and she says, oh my gosh, was that Peter? And they said, no, you were just simply seeing his angel. They believed in guardian angels. I believe in guardian angels. It's my prerogative. I believe that my angels, my children's angels, I believe that my church's angels stand before the presence of God and they watch the face of the Father and the Father sends them to and fro to be flames of fire and ministering servants to the heirs of salvation, and that is you. Where do angels live? Oh my gosh, I've got so much more, I need to stop. Where do angels live? Well, did you know there's three heavens? If you'll do a study on the word heaven, it's always plural in the word of God. Heavens. From the beginning, there's heavens. There's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, and there's a third heaven. How do we know that? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself when he was stoned to death. Church prayed and he came back to life. Remember that part in the book of Acts? So if there's a third heaven, guess what? What does that mean? Now, this is rocket science, so pay attention. Third heaven, let's go backwards. Second heaven. First heaven, right? So what does that mean? Well, first heaven would be the material world. Outer space, the natural world, this planet. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2 says, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's active. Planet Earth. Second heaven, that is the invisible realm, where the forces of good and evil are at war. Do you remember what we read in Daniel? Daniel, I tried to come to you, but I was withstood by the prince of Persia, but Michael came and helped me. Where was that? That wasn't on planet you know where. It was in the invisible second heaven. Are you with me? Third heaven, God's throne. John went to the third heaven. Revelation 4, 1 and 2, after these things I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was like a trumpet speaking, saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. The third heaven is the throne of God, is where God is. So the third heaven is where you and I are headed. It's where Jesus brought his blood to the mercy seat in the temple of God in the third heaven. The second heaven is where there is demonic warfare and angelic warfare going on. That is in the invisible world. And the first heaven is earth's side. And guess what? That's our battle. It's in the flesh. It's in the mind. It's in the heart. We'll get to that next week. What do angels do? They exist to bless God and to serve us. They bring messages from God. They minister to God's people. They deliver people from danger. They administer justice and judgment. So I want to leave you with three things tonight. So what has all this got to do with me? Three things. Number one, worship God and respect angels. The angels that did not fall are your fellow servants. They're not to be worshipped and they're not to be feared. They're to be honored and respected. Revelation 19:10 says, and I fell at his feet, speaking of John, to worship him. It was an angel. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Saints of God, understand that you are the redeemed of God. You are the body of Christ. Worship God. We do not worship angels, but we honor angels. They are fellow servants with us. Number two, never be afraid of the dark. You no longer ever have to be afraid of the dark because there is more for you than against you. He will give his angels charge over you and keep you in all of your ways. Psalm 91 and number three, always be ready to help a stranger. For in doing so, many have entertained angels unaware. Hebrews chapter 13, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing. Don't have time for angel stories, but oh, we've got some, Jim and I. Oh, should I tell one? So out of time. Will you come and tell it? Come and tell that angel story.
We were in. I don't know if it was an angel or what, but I.
He was drinking a beer. Yeah, I think he was.
We thought he was an angel, and I had walked in Montana in the backcountry fishing with my kids. I think they were with me. I don't remember. I think they were with you.
Half of them weren't born yet. Yeah.
Yeah, they were with you, and I still have a picture of Jesse. And I walked for like hours to get in this secluded lakes up on top of this mountain, and it was like a nuttiest place. I went over everything. It took me hours to get there, and I looked down, and there's these giant trout. I'm talking about trout that were 4, 5, 6 pounds each, every one of them in there. And I threw my bait in, and one of them hit this trout. Well, I have a picture of it somewhere. And it was like a 3 or 4 pound trout that I caught. I fought it and got it to the shore and got it. By that time, hours had gone by. That night, we were supposed to be in a meeting in one of the camps
Christian
up there.
Camp in
a Christian camp in Montana. And we had to get back for the meeting, you know. And
I was in the motorhome taking care of all the babies, okay? He's out fishing. And he took that fish, brought it home, and it was in my freezer for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't eat it. It was too much. But so I'm stuck out there. It took me hours to get there. I've got like 30 minutes to get back, and it took me hours to get there. And there is nothing in sight anywhere. There's no boats. There's no nothing. There's no docks. I'm in the wilderness somewhere. I'm in the wilderness. And I'm thinking, gosh, it took me 2 hours of running. So I start to run. Because I've got to get back to this meeting. I'm in this meeting. I got to get back to it. And I start to run. And all of a sudden in the distance, so help me, here comes a speedboat. It's shooting across this lake. Now watch this. There is nothing on the lake. I never saw a boat. I never saw a rowboat. I never saw another fisherman. I never saw anything. I am excluded in this mountain. Here comes this speedboat across the lake. It had a motor in it, one of those big old motors, and these big things shooting out of the back, you know, those muffler pipes that are made out of chrome going up like to the sky. I don't want to get spiritual on you, but they were high, you know.
Yeah, there, and there was eyes in front and eyes in the back and wings
no,
on the side.
No, wait a minute. No, come on. And so this guy, I'm running on the shore, and he comes across the lake. This is a true story. He pulls up next to me, and he says, "You want to ride back?" And I said, "Oh, I got this fish. You know, I'm trying to hold on to this fish." And I go, yeah, I do. He says, "Get in." I get in this boat. Man, there's not another boat anywhere. And this guy punches it. Now, I didn't think it was, I said to myself while I was in the boat, this can't be an angel. The guy had a beer in his hand. You know what I mean? Can't be an angel. But, you know, they're not going to let you know that they're angels. You know what I'm saying?
It was a prop.
It was a prop.
That's it.
I'm sure it was a prop. I never saw him drink it. Man, he kicked that thing in gear. We were flying across that lake. In 10 minutes, 15 minutes, tears were running down my eyes. I couldn't see because the wind was hitting me so hard in my face. He pulls up. How he knew? He pulls up where the motorhome is. It's the only motorhome anywhere near the place. I jump out. He does a spin and shoots off out of sight. Debbie and I said, "Debbie, you won't believe this fish." Of course, she says, "What was that?" I said, "I don't know, man. That was some guy that picked me up." And we started talking about it. She said, "That's an angel." And, you know, to this day, we have said, "That's an angel that helped us." Guess what? We froze that sucker, not the angel, the fish, and made it on time to the meeting. And I'm talking about, oh, man, that was one of many, but it's a good one.
I completely forgot about that fish. It was in my freezer for years. Well, did you get something out of tonight? Good. Never be afraid of the dark again. You got big angels all around you.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.